This week, November 25th, 2014, on The Digital Story. All backup systems go. Mirrorless camera recommendations. It's a nimble Black Friday. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So happy to have you with me on this Thanksgiving week for those of you that reside in the U.S. And for the rest of you, have a big meal on Thursday anyway, right? Celebrate with us in spirit. Anyway, I've got lots of good stuff today. We're going to start out with a snapshot. And I have a little different weekly update than usual, but I think you'll find it interesting. Then we'll roll into our feature stories, including taking a look at our backup system right now, and then thinking about what we're going to do next year in 2015. End of year is a great time to review how we're archiving and protecting our images, and we're going to talk a bit about that. I have some great mirrorless cameras I'm going to recommend, and lots of other goodies too. So let's get started. This week's snapshot is called After the Rain. So I keep my Canon S110 compact camera on the kitchen counter here at the studio. And the reason why is that's where I keep my keys and my wallet and all that other stuff. When I'm heading out the door, I can grab those things that we know we need. Make sure you have your wallet, make sure you have your car keys or house keys or whatever, and grab the compact camera. Now, one thing I like to do is take a walk every day if I can, clear my head, get a little bit of exercise, come back and, you know, hit it hard again. Breaks up the day nicely. And a lot of times I'll try to time my walk for a pretty time of day. Last week, one of the things that happened was we had a couple days of rain, which was very welcome up here in Northern California. It's been very dry. We're in a drought. And we actually had 2 days of back-to-back rain. And it was, oh, so wonderful. It just like washed everything down. All the plants already looked better. And about 4 p.m, the rain stopped. It just kind of broke a little bit. And I actually started to see some color in the sky. And I was thinking, okay, this is the time to take my walk. You know, I hadn't done it earlier. I will walk in the rain. It's not like I'm a wimp or anything, but I was busy and wasn't that motivated to go out in the rain. You know, you get 5 or 6 days of rain and then that might change. I hadn't done any walking yet. And so now the sky is changing. So I grabbed my keys and I grabbed the S110 and I head out. And as I'm walking on the first leg, the sky I could see was looking really dramatic. You know, the kind of colors that sometimes you see, like when you're in Hawaii or something like that, one of those really nice sunsets with lots of clouds. The problem, of course, is, and anyone that lives in an urban setting knows this, that there's a lot of obstruction. So you know there's a sunset, but you can't quite see what's going on there because of the houses and trees and everything. Up the road a bit in the direction I was heading, I saw someone off in the distance holding up their, it looked like an iPhone or smartphone. It was pretty far away. Couldn't tell exactly. Taking a picture of the sky. And I go, there must be a clearing up there. So I picked up my pace and got up there, and sure enough, there's this beautiful view of the sky, and the clouds were like going in this V formation up from the horizon. It was very dramatic. I pulled out the Canon S110, composed a couple shots. They looked really good. You know how sunsets are, they change quickly, and after about 3 or 4 minutes, the sky was already different than what I had first seen. And then I put it in my pocket, I keep walking, and I hit a park where I do a turn, and there was water on the ground on the concrete there, and there's a tree, and there's more color in the eastern sky, kind of a reflection from what was happening in the west. And so there I saw a shot where the color is being reflected in the water puddles on the concrete. So I pulled out the S110 and I got another shot and made the turn, came back down the home stretch, got back to the studio. Well, as it turned out, I ended up with two really nice shots that were my next two Instagram posts and got some conversation out of them, got some nice likes. It was a wonderful walk. It was very refreshing, kind of cleansed my spirit as well as the environment. And I got two photos. Now, if I had only had my iPhone, I probably could have got one of the two shots for sure, but it wouldn't have been the same. I wouldn't be able to frame it the same. On the second shot, I needed RAW in order to pull out the foreground and the sky and get everything balanced the way I wanted. And I certainly could not have gotten the shot I wanted with the iPhone there. And it just was a nice reminder, in addition to everything else, in addition to timing your outdoor experiences, to getting exercise, to just enjoying nature when it presents you with a gift like this, is that having a little camera in addition to your smartphone. Smartphones are great because you have them with you all the time. But having a little camera sometimes allows you to get that other shot, and in my case, get that second shot that I wouldn't have been able to get otherwise. And that is this week's snapshot. So I have two little pieces for the weekly update this week. I'm going to do it a little bit differently because my weekly update is actually going to be about an update that I did, at least the first one. What I purchased just recently, a couple weeks ago, and I've been testing and now I'm ready to talk about it, was a MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina display. And this is the model that was introduced in August of this year, 2014. Now, I had been holding out to see if Apple could pull off a Retina display MacBook Air. And I thought if there was a chance that that was going to happen, it would happen in the second half of 2014. And it did not, as we all know. So that did not lessen my need to replace my travel computer, which was very old, early 2010 model, and just wasn't keeping up anymore, let alone not having the storage that I needed for these big old RAW files these days. Anyway, so I went ahead and figured, okay, well, I'm going to pull the trigger. And so I got the 13-inch, the regular 13-inch MacBook Pro, which is basically the same dimensions. It's just a little bit thicker and a little bit heavier. And you can feel the difference when you hold the Air in one hand and the 13-inch Pro in the other in terms of weight. But in terms of fitting where I need it to fit in my camera bag, they're about the same. Now, the one I got has a 2.8 gigahertz Intel Core i5 processor. And I just went ahead and went with the standard 8 gigabytes of RAM, even though the RAM is soldered to the motherboard on these. So 8 gigabytes is what I will have for the life of this computer. And I did upgrade the hard drive to 512 gigabyte SSD, upgrade over my previous model, which only had 256, which was really getting difficult to manage. So it's great having a little extra storage. 512 gigabytes is going to feel like a luxury for a while anyway, compared to that 256. I've been using it now. It has Yosemite running on it. It has the latest version of Yosemite. And I have to tell you, I really like it. It is a terrific computer. It's solid. The design's great. The ports are wonderful. Two USB 3 ports, two Thunderbolt 2 ports, HDMI, headphone jack that also takes, you know, the little switchy thing on the Apple headphones so you can actually control from the headphones, power, and an SD card slot. So really well designed, very solid. The screen is absolutely beautiful. I love the Retina displays on these computers, and I really like them for image editing. I've run everything on it. I've run Photoshop, Lightroom, latest versions, because I'm Creative Cloud member. So the latest versions, Photoshop, Lightroom, and Bridge. Latest version, Aperture, iPhoto. My sound editing software. all the, you know, usual stuff, all the browsers and all that kind of stuff. And it's just performing wonderfully, crazy long battery life. I mean, over 10 hours on the battery life. I think the whole time I've had it, I've like only had to charge it from, you know, a low percentage once. Most of the time when I think, well, I should probably plug it in now, it's like at 55% or something. I mean, it's just really nuts on the battery life. And it fits everywhere I need it to fit. And really, the only thing I'm giving up compared to the Air is that, you know how the Air is tapered? It's like a wedge when you look at it from the side. And the MacBook Pro 13-inch is the same thickness all the way. But it's basically, you know, the thick part of the Air, MacBook Pro is that thick all the way through. It doesn't taper down. And it definitely has a little bit more weight to it than the Air. So I have to say, I just wanted to mention this because this is a good computer. And if you're looking for a travel computer where you can do your image editing, where you can do your video editing, where you can, you know, run all the applications you need, in my case also sound editing, then this computer will get it done. And it will have a battery that will basically last when you fly from the East Coast to the West Coast and back. So, I mean, that is pretty cool stuff. And I just wanted to mention that. And that is the latest. That's the mid-2014 MacBook Pro Retina display, 13-inch. It cost me, you know, with the upgrades and everything, about $1,700. Second little item on the weekly update is that we are going to have a Nimble Black Friday. So we had a sale for 2 weeks in the Nimble store, and a lot of you took advantage of it. I'm glad you did, because you got some really good prices. The stuff that the selected items I put on sale, you know, were some of my favorite items, and we shipped a lot of orders out the door. And I hope those of you that took advantage of that sale, which is over now, by the way, I hope you're enjoying the items and have received them. But we are going to do something on Black Friday also, which is going to be different than the sale. The sale that we had that just ended, that was our first annual celebration. And that's something we're going to do every year. We're going to have second annual celebration because I'm just so thrilled that this thing got off the ground and people are enjoying it and I'm enjoying it. And I wanted to celebrate a little bit. And that's what that sale is about. Now, the Black Friday sale is going to be a little different. It's going to be one thing that I put together that's going to be a special item that's going to be great for gift giving, and it's going to be at a super special price. So it'll be different than the sale that we had, and that also is going to be a tradition. Whatever we do on Black Friday will be different than the annual sale, the annual celebration. And it's only going to be for Black Friday. I'm not doing like Black Friday starts 3 weeks before Black Friday and continues on into 2015. I'm not doing any of that silliness. It drives me nuts. I don't know. I mean, are you like Black Friday to death? I mean, did you even cringe when I just said Black Friday? You know, just now, did you just go, oh, God? You know, because I mean, it's the whole thing is just it's a total whack job, I tell you. Anyway, we're just doing it on the day after Thanksgiving. I'm not even going to say BF anymore. We're just going to do it on the day after Thanksgiving, one day only, and then that's the end of it. You won't hear any more about it. If you're interested in such a thing, then please go over to thenimblephotographer.com on the day after Thanksgiving, otherwise known as BF, and we're not going to have a CM either, just so you know. And those of you, some of you know what that will be. The CM is the following Monday. We're not having a CM either. We're just going to do this one thing. Go over there, see if you like what I've done. And if you do, I hope you pick one up. All right. That is this week's weekly update. Story number one, all backup systems go. 5 tips for year-end archive maintenance. End of the year is a time, a particularly good time to be thinking about how's your backup strategy going? Have you reviewed what you've been doing in 2014? Do you need to revise your plan for 2015? What is going on? And please, please tell me that you have a plan. Even if you're not executing it well, tell me at least you have some sort of plan, because our photos are so important. And just to give you an idea, I'll give you the first tip now, because that'll allow me to tell you just this little anecdote. The first tip is on your backup plan is to spin up your old hard drives. So I have hard drives that I keep at home. I have hard drives that I keep here. And I like having hard drives that are in two different spots in case something happens, you know, physically. And so on these hard drives, I have my Aperture libraries going back to the beginning of Aperture. And I think now I have things spread out on, I think, 5 2-terabyte hard drives, you know, the bulk of my backup. 5 hard drives, 2 terabytes each, containing my pictures. So one of the things, first tip, is to make sure those hard drives that you have stored stuff on, that you spin them up. In other words, you plug them in, you fire them up, you get them going, plug them into the computer, check that they're operating properly, check that the images that you think you have backed up are there, safe and sound, let them run for a little while, then spin them down, and then you can put them back in storage for a little while. Now, I think you should do this more than once a year, but at least do it once a year. I like to do it 4 times a year if I can. But once a year for sure. And I've just gone through this. Now, here's the anecdote. And every time I do this and I'm checking the libraries and looking at some of the pictures, going back over my life over the last 7-8 years on this particular batch I'm working on right now, and I see these images of people I care about and things that I've done. Some people that aren't in my life anymore that I miss. People that are in my life that have grown up. You know, all this stuff. Pets that I care about and have cared for. Some are gone. And I'm looking at these images, and this process really touches me. And it reminds me of how important our pictures are. I mean, at the time, you know, like the shots that I shot last week, I'm not thinking that much about them, really. Yeah, they're nice. Yeah, the house looks like this. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. I think when I look at these pictures 10 years from now, I'm going to feel much differently about them, because that's what I'm going through. So that alone to me, you know, makes this process worth doing. Tip number 2, update your photo management libraries to the current versions. In my case, because I'm a heavy Aperture user, Aperture has changed. We're at 3.6 something right now. A lot of those libraries are older. So when I check them through spinning up the hard drives and doing all that, that gives me a chance to update those libraries to the current versions. That way, you have a nice, smooth update, and when you do need to access one of those images, you don't have to wait for updates. So you're not running the chance that your libraries are so far out of date that it takes a really long time to update them, or that there's some sort of problem. It's just a nice thing to do to keep all of your content current and ready to go. And when it's time to maybe update these to photos or whatever I may do in 2015, they're ready to go. So that's the second tip. Update your photo management libraries. Same goes for iPhoto users to the current version. Okay. Review your cloud storage strategy. Now, I use cloud storage a lot for my mobile stuff. I have everything that I shoot with my iPhone and my iPad go into cloud storage in a couple different spots. It's my automatic backup so that I don't have to think about what's going on there. But it's a good idea to review how much of my cloud storage am I using. Let's take a look at those shots that are allegedly being backed up. Are they all there? Do I have all my 2014 shots there? Is my overfill system working? In my case, I have PhotoStream. Only holds 1,000 photos, but then it goes into my iPhoto library that's backing that up onto a hard drive. Is that process working? Are all my images there? If you're using Dropbox and Carousel, is that system working? Just take a look at your cloud storage scenario. Make sure that whatever is supposed to be happening is happening. Tip number 4, evaluate and adjust your backup hardware and software for the new year. So once you've had a chance to look at everything that you've done, are you ready for 2015? Do you have to make any changes? Do you need more hardware? Do you need to increase your cloud storage? Do you need to make some adjustments? Were there some items that fell through the cracks that weren't backed up? How are you going to amend that? How are you going to fix that in 2015? Review your strategy. Make sure that you're ready to go. You can estimate how much storage you're going to need based on what happened in 2014 and based on what your plans are for 2015. Generally speaking, you'll need 10 to 20% more each year than you needed the previous year, in part because files get bigger. We tend to shoot more as time goes on, all that kind of stuff. All right, so make sure you review your plan. And then point number 5, my 5th tip, and this is one that I've talked about before also. Pick your 6 favorite photos, your 6 best photos from 2014, and make archival prints of them. Because in the end, regardless of what happens to your computers, to your hard drives, whatever you got, even cloud storage, whatever may happen to all of that, prints will probably survive. And an archival print, especially one that's kept in a nice box without light on it and everything, and put away and stored properly, will last a long, long time. And it also forces you to, you know, think about, well, what shots were the important shots from this year? Make nice big prints of them, as big as you can print. For a lot of us, that'll be, you know, 13-inch prints. Make at least 6. Put them away. Think about it. If you do that every year, even for 10 years, and you only do 6, you only do the minimum, in the end, when it's time for you to move on to the big dark room in the sky, then you'll leave behind at least 50, 60, 100 prints that are archival, that are beautiful. And basically, you could take a hammer to everything else, to all those hard drives, to all the cruft, to all that. You know, you could go Brent Weston on your electronic stuff. Just destroy it all before you go to the light. You, in our case, you'd be going to the glowing safe light. Make 6 prints. That's the final step of this process. For 2014, make sure everything's solid and be ready for 2015. Story number 2. Here's a fun one. We're going to talk about cameras for a second. And I wrote this piece for the Lynda.com Article Center on my favorite current mirrorless cameras and a few premium compacts. And I thought I'd share that list with you here because there are some great cameras out right now. So I broke this into 4 categories: the well-heeled traveler, the serious enthusiast, the emerging artist, and the flat-out bargain. So here we go. You ready? I'll put the link to the article in the show notes. So if you don't have a pen on you or if you're driving your car, just listen and enjoy. Know that you can get links to these later on in the show notes. Show notes always have links to everything. You know that, right? Okay, here we go. The well-heeled traveler. Number 1, Panasonic Lumix LX100 at $899. The Sony CyberShot RX100 III, version 3, at $798. And I did include the PowerShot G7X by Canon in the 3rd position there at $699. Some of the reviews on the G7X have been that it's a little slow, but the image quality is actually quite good and it's very compact. So I still have it in the list, although I will tell you I like the LX100 and the RX100 better. But they're also more expensive at $899 and $798. All right, next category, the serious enthusiast. These are people that take their cameras very seriously. So the premium compacts, those guys are serious too. They're spending some coin. But, you know, they're thinking more about travel and being super nimble. Here on the Sirius Enthusiast, they'll take a little bigger size to get the features they want. And I have three cameras here also. First one, Fujifilm X-T1, coming in with the 18-55mm lens at $1,599. Next, the Panasonic Lumix GH4, body only. It's on sale right now for $1,497 with a $50 B&H gift card that's included. It's like $200 off right now. Again, all the links are going to be in the show notes. And in the third position, and you know, the positions are by price, right? So we start with most expensive and then most affordable in that category. Third position for the Sirius Enthusiast is the Olympus OMD EM1, coming in at $1,299. These are three fantastic cameras, I'll tell you. Woo-hoo! Man. All right. Now, the emerging artist. I have two cameras, both of them very good. First one, the Olympus OMD EM10. With the 14-42mm lens coming in at $799. And by the way, spend an extra $100 and get the 14-42 EZ power zoom pancake lens. You'll like it even better. And in the second position here, the Sony Alpha A6000 mirrorless digital camera with the 16-50mm lens coming in at $698. These are great cameras. They're a little bit more affordable than the previous category, than the Sirius Enthusiast, but they are every bit as good when it comes to delivering quality images, just maybe not quite as many features as you get in the previous category. All right, and then I have one flat-out bargain, and I talked about it earlier tonight. The Canon PowerShot S110 compact camera is available right now at B&H for $249, has built-in Wi-Fi, takes great pictures, and I believe until November 26, they're even throwing in a 16-gigabyte SanDisk card, UHS-1 speed at that, $249. And that is my list of mirrorless and premium compacts. These are all great cameras, and the links are in the show notes. All right, what else are we going to talk about here for a second? Oh, I have a workshops update for you. A couple things going on with the TDS workshops for 2015. First of all, I sent out the reservation forms to those on the reserve list for the San Francisco Street Shooting Workshop, already getting signups. If you signed up on the reserve list and you did not get a reservation form, make sure you drop me a note at Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, @thedigitalstory.com. If you didn't sign up on the reserve list for, you know, this pre-rollout, then go ahead and do it now. It's not too late. We haven't filled up yet. We just started sending out reservation forms. People are just now getting them. So if you're interested in this April workshop in San Francisco, that was just fabulous last year. And I'm so excited about the improvements we have for this year. Go to the reserve list. Go to thedigitalstory.com/workshops. Throw your hat in the ring. I'll send you the reservation form, and then you can review all the details and make your decision from there. The other update that I have has to do with the Going from Aperture to Photos workshop. I have it in the schedule right now for early February, but it's looking to me like we might not see photos by then. There's a chance. I don't know. You know, it's you know how these things with Apple go. I've actually been in contact with Apple because I'm working on training for Linda and all that kind of stuff too. And, you know, I don't have a date. They're not going to give me a date. As I sort of look at the tea leaves and read between the lines and stuff, we might have to move that workshop back a few weeks. So I sent everyone on the reserve list for that workshop a note saying, here's the game plan. And if you signed up for that one, if you're on the reserve list and you did not get that email, make sure you drop me a note. And if you're interested in really digging into what are your best options for migration from Aperture, either going to the new Photos app or going to Lightroom, we're going to cover both in this workshop, then that is probably a good choice for you. And you can still sign up on the reserve list, and then you'll be added to the mailing list. You'll get first crack at signing up. I have a feeling once Photos is announced, then suddenly I'm going to get this rush of interest in this workshop. So if you think you might be one of those people, get on the reserve list now, because then you will hold a spot for yourself and you can make a decision on whether to go ahead and sign up or not. But at least you'll have that option. You won't get shut out. All right, so those are our updates for the workshops. A little bit of Virtual Camera Club news. The photo assignment for November is layers, and we're getting near the end of the month. Send something good in. Come on, dazzle me. And have a chance to, you know, win yourself a Sizzle Picks, because Sizzle Picks will pick one of those shots. It'll be the Sizzle Picks pick of the month. And that person will get a free Sizzle Picks of their winning image. Wow. So this is something not to sneeze at. You win the photo contest, basically. I mean, you're picked by the folks at Sizzle Picks. And, you know, besides the bragging rights, you get a free Sizzle Picks. That's not bad stuff. By the way, Sizzle Picks, SizzlePix.com. There's still time. There's still time. You're getting a discount to the end of November, 20%. But it's getting now starting to get a little tight. So if you're thinking about getting a Sizzle Picks for a loved one or a friend or yourself for the holiday season, do it before the end of November. Save yourself the 20% and make sure you have it in time. All you got to do is put in the comments field when you're placing the order, TDS, 20% discount, and you will get 20% off your Sizzle Picks, and you will be so thrilled when that package comes. I tell you right now, SizzlePix.com is like a retina display you can hang on your wall. Do not procrastinate. Get your Sizzle Picks before it's too late. Our folks over at Red River Paper, they've updated their offer on our landing page. And if you just click on any of the tiles that say Red River Paper throughout the digital story, it'll take you to the landing page, and there you can get 10% off your order. By the way, the code is, in case you don't want to go to the landing page, but you have to go anyway, right, to place your order. The code is STORY10X, STORY10X, and that ends on January 15th, 2015. And don't forget about their rockin' Facebook page over at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Hope you liked what I talked about. All sorts of good stuff, don't you think? Think about your backup stuff and check out the Nimble store on the day after Thanksgiving, otherwise known as BF. And come back next week, because I'm working on some great stories for then. Until then, those of you in North America, U.S., have a great holiday. The rest of you, have a great meal on Thursday and celebrate with us. All right. Bye-bye now.